welcome everybody to another Thunder Buddies podcast. Take two. Had a little technical snafu, but we didn't get too deep into recording this one. I'm Brett Dawson. I'm in the bowels of the TD Garden in Boston. The Thunder has just lost a very weird game, 199 to the Celtics. Eric Horn is in Oklahoma City. Eric, you were watching this game at home. You probably thought with 17 seconds to go that the Thunder was going to win this game. Most of us did, and statistics say it would have been almost impossible for this team to lose this game in that situation, and somehow they did it.
Yeah, man. They're, you know, we like to joke around and use the Major League line of the groundskeepers in Major League that, you know, waver back and forth between the team being good or bad, but they use four-letter words. Look, the Thunder's not a bad team. They just had a really, really, really bad last 2 minutes. There are a lot of people online and on Twitter who aren't looking at things the right way, saying that the Thunder didn't play with energy or they didn't do this or that. Look, Boston's the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
Boston's a team that plays really hard. They have really good athletes, and they make offense difficult for you. It was going to be tough for the Thunder to come off that big win against Toronto and play with the same kind of ferocity they played against Toronto against Boston in Boston. But I thought the Thunder handled Boston's runs really well. I thought they responded to them well. And I thought they had the game with 2 minutes to go. And
yep.
Look, that 2 minutes was terrible. It was a terrible close of the game.
Here's what's crazy, because you talk about the last 2 minutes. The first play really inside, I think, the last 2 minutes is the play that I thought was going to be, by the way, little sneak preview of a story that will never run. It was going to be the lead of my story. There's a play. Carmelo Anthony's made two threes in the quarter. Carmelo's got the ball. He's isolated against Al Horford, and he's kind of looking like he's going to work, and you think, here goes Carmelo. Good or bad, he's about to take a jump shot over Al Horford, right? And he kicks it to Corey Brewer, who has not made a shot, has not made a jump shot the whole night, hasn't made a three the whole night. He's 0-for-5 at that point. Throws it out to Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer shoots it with confidence, drills it. They go up by 6, and it was start right in time for me. That's when I thought, okay, Now I've got the lead to my story, and they're not going to lose this game. They just they have, as you said, they've withstood every run. Boston made that great run at him at the end of the third, and you thought they overcame that. They're good. They're good to go. Now all they're going to have to do, make a couple free throws, walk out of here with a win. That was problematic. Westbrook misses one. Carmelo misses two. It wasn't the only thing. That's not the only thing that went wrong in those last 2 minutes. Far from it. And by the way, in addition to that, Boston had to make two really hard threes to make that happen. But the Thunder shot itself in the foot a little bit too. Should have won the game.
Yeah, and people who want to bag on Carmelo Anthony for missing those two free throws, I have a couple different things I have an issue with, but I really wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, Carmelo Anthony, he started the game shooting pretty poorly. I think he started, he missed his first four shots, and then he wound up hitting, I believe, 4 of 9 to close the game. He didn't have a great offensive game, but I thought it was an offensive game of progress for him from the standpoint of what you said. You know, he passed out of double teams.
Yep, made a great one to Westbrook, who I think – did Westbrook make a three on that play?
Yeah, it was a spot-up three. You know, he passed out of the double a couple times. He hit Corey Brewer in a key juncture of the game where he probably – you know, we've seen him take that contested jump shot and time again.
Yep, against a great defender, too. He had Al Horford on him, who is a really high-level, you know, one of the best front-court defenders in the league. And you think, man, he's going to get goaded into a bad shot here. And he didn't.
No, I didn't think Melo's defense was particularly bad tonight. I thought
he was all right.
He had a physical matchup with Aaron Baines that I thought he handled well. He had active hands. He got some deflections, which turned into fast break opportunities for the Thunder and steals. You know, Thunder turned Boston over a ton. And Melo was a part of that. He was plus 11 when he was on the floor. He was the best Thunder starter in plus minus.
Yeah.
He just missed those two free throws. And I think if he makes two free throws, you're writing about Melo
Yep.
instead of writing about how the Thunder had one of their worst losses of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they did a lot of stuff they didn't do well. Steven Adams said that he did not contest, although it looked like he got a pretty decent contest on the Morris shot. Steven Adams said, nope, I was way out of whack there, basically did everything wrong. They gave up too many offensive rebounds. The 11 offensive rebounds were problematic for them. But they, you know, they still had more second chance points than the Celtics did. They kept the Celtics from really getting to run. The Celtics did get some points off their turnovers, but they didn't really get out on the break. Boston, you know, they made some threes. They shot really great from the free throw line, which the Thunder obviously did not do, and not just in the last 16 seconds. You know, they missed 10 free throws. They shot 65%. They're a bad free throw shooting team. It's what they do. You know, little things like that came back to get them. And look, in the bigger picture, the grand scheme of things, yes, they should beat Boston without Kyrie Irving and without Jaylen Brown. It's your two leading scorers. You should win. And there were stretches of the game, I thought, particularly in the first half, where the Thunder looked a little bit like they were in this mode where they thought they could win the game against these guys. But they came out strong in the first quarter. I think they had some lapses. Some of those lapses were when the bench was out there. You know, it's one of those games where, like, on paper, you think they ought to win. But it wasn't like they were really super flat because the other team's best guys weren't there.
Yeah, yeah. It's really an inexcusable loss in hindsight because of the way that they played in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And you know, how much they gutted out into the fourth. You know, we talked about their free throw woes all season.
Yep.
And you thought at this juncture on the road – they'd be able to close it out, get the free throws they need to close this game out. And, you know, Russell Westbrook made 2 of 2 in that last 2 minutes, but then he missed the front end.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get Melo in that 8 second situation to go, and you'd expect them to make one, but frankly, it shouldn't have come down to that to begin with. You know, you've got a possession where they just let Jason Tatum get to the basket basically unmolested. You know, probably a minute prior, Westbrook in a one possession game pulls up from three with 7 seconds left on the shot clock, where he's isolated against Terry Rozier. He probably should have drove to the basket. He pulled up from three. Granted, Steven Adams gets the offensive rebound on that possession, but you might have had 3 points if Westbrook gets a 3-point play as opposed to, you know, 1 point for Steven Adams making a 1 of 2 free throws. It's just little stuff like that that's beating the Thunder against good teams this season at times. And granted, they still have a good record against, you know, the elite teams in the league. But, you know, you're to a point in the season where you basically have to have every game.
Yeah.
When you have games like that where you're up 6 with 24 seconds left, it's you have to have those games.
Yeah.
And then you have a night where, you know, the Timberwolves win, the Pelicans win, and you had a chance to beat a Boston team and stretch this thing to 7 – The losses at this point in the season for the Thunder feel so cataclysmic, even though they've done such good work in 6 games to get to this point. The losses feel like they erase the 6 games of good work that you did.
It's funny because I had some fans telling me that who were like, you know, it is kind of funny because fans are like, I hope this isn't what we are. I hope this isn't indicative of what we are as a team. And it's like, man, you just won 6 in a row. Like maybe the 6 were more indicative. Maybe Sunday was more indicative of where you are. Maybe not. But it's weird how bad the losses all feel to everybody. Now, here's the one good thing I will say about them. They have built, by winning those 6 straight games, built enough of a cushion that they were secure in staying in fourth tonight, whatever happened. And then they got a little assist. Atlanta goes into Utah and wins. So they got that going for them, that Utah finally lost a game. And boy, did it not seem like that was a game that Utah was going to lose. So, you know, it's not as bad a loss as it could have been. Utah dropped to 8th because they lost. It's so ridiculous. And so that's the one thing. The wins have given them a little bit of separation. And so, you know, there's some comfort in that. It's a cold comfort, I guess. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, and this is what the players mostly said, you know, like Carmelo Anthony was pretty good talking about missing those free throws and just, you know, that they should have won the game and that he always expects to hit those and ice a game that way, and that the game normally he believes they would win, and he believes the next time he's in that situation they will win. But what the guys mostly said is they did the right things to win the game. They just didn't make those free throws, and that's not all it was, but they did do a good job of kind of gutting the game out. It's not a crushing loss in this sense. Like, the guys in NBA locker rooms aren't crushed, not after regular season losses. Like, they get mad sometimes, but tonight's one of those nights. I think they felt like they should have won. They didn't. they pack up and move on. It wasn't like devastation. Carmelo was mad at himself, and he was sort of isolated for a while. And oh my gosh, so many jokes that you could make about Carmelo being isolated after the game. But he was he had the double wide locker here, which is like kind of it's off to one side. He probably got it based on seniority because it's like a really good locker to have, but it's away from everybody else's. And he was just kind of sitting in it, you know, he's kind of hanging out, sulking just a little bit. But you know. Here's where, you know, people always ask questions about the locker room and what the locker room's like. And I always tell people that those guys know we're in there. So they don't, the way they behave is not necessarily the way they're always behaving in the locker room. They know that we're there. But I will say this, Carmelo's sitting there and he's kind of bummed out. He hasn't really said anything to anybody. Everybody else is kind of talking. It's quiet, but it's kind of a normal locker room setting. And Corey Brewer goes to leave and Carmelo says, you're on the first bus? Because it's still pretty early at this point. And Corey Brewer says, there's two buses? Like, he had no idea there was a second bus. And Carmelo got a big kick out of that. He just thought it was funny that Corey Brewer didn't know yet how the system works and didn't know there were two buses. And Corey Brewer was like, no, I'm going to stay. And so he kind of hangs out. And Carmelo thinks that's really funny, and he gets a chuckle out of it. And then within, like, 5 minutes, Corey Brewer's over there cutting up, and guys are in stitches. I mean, like Paul George and Raymond Felton could not stop laughing at something Corey Brewer was saying. So, you know, this isn't the NCAA tournament, you know, you move on and it's not the playoffs. It's not a decisive game of a playoff series. NBA guys pick up and they move on with it. They were upset, but I think they felt like they played reasonably well, even though their offense was kind of garbage. Boston has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. It's disappointing because they were so close to sweeping a big road trip, but at the same time, I mean, realistically, did we go into this road trip thinking that they were going to win either of these games? I don't know. I mean, I
think we thought a split would be good.
Yeah, a split you would have been happy with from Thunder standpoint. And after the Toronto game, I thought everything else was a bonus. I mean, I figured they'd play well in Boston. I didn't know if they were going to win, but it is disappointing because of the way you lost.
Yeah,
because
you had
a victory in hand.
Yep.
And you had an opportunity on a night where, you know, Portland loses to Houston.
Yeah.
To get a little bit closer to them.
I did not know that had happened, but yeah.
Yeah. To get a little bit closer to them for the three seed. And then, you know, the teams underneath you gain ground.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves win and they own a tiebreaker. San Antonio wins and they're a team that, you know, you still have a tiebreaker to decide with them because
right.
You have to go to San Antonio next week.
New Orleans wins and they have a tiebreaker.
Right. Fortunately, you know, Utah loses and Utah goes all the way down to the eight. So
Utah's the team to most worry about there, I think. But, you know, every game now you don't have a whole lot of cushion. You didn't have a lot of cushion anyway. But this takes away a little bit of your cushion. And Portland's coming in on Sunday. And that's like, you know, that's going to be a tough game. We know they don't play very well against Portland. But now you can't mess around and lose to Miami on Friday. It's not like these aren't must-win games in the sense that, like, it really looks like. And, you know, I do a blog every day. We've talked about this on this podcast before, I think, that I do this blog every day just kind of looking at the standings and where they are. And if you're following day-to-day, like, Denver and the Clippers are not going to make it. Those are the teams that aren't going to make it. And I think, like, the falling out of the playoffs thing is not super realistic for the Thunder. They don't have to do a whole lot more to get in, but you still want to stay out of 7 and 8. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, because you'd only stand a chance of basically getting two home games. Like,
yeah,
you have a chance of going out in 5 or maybe even 4.
Right.
You know, Houston's rolling. Golden State, while banged up, still more talented than the Thunder.
Yeah,
so,
and Steph's back soon. Yeah. And those other guys are not going to be out for the playoffs. You know, they're as far as we know, we would be surprised at this point if those guys are not ready for playoff time.
And look, frankly, I don't think that the Thunder are going to catch Portland. So
no.
it would be in their best interest to get the 4 or the 5 because we talked about this. I don't think they want any piece of Portland right now.
Right.
Portland, or for the next 3 or 4 years because they just don't beat Portland ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Portland's playing really well. They barely lost to Houston tonight. And they're a team that's really playing well, moving the ball, playing defense, and you know to be a 6 seed going into Portland, I don't think the Thunder wants any part of that. They need to get the 4 or the 5, and you know the 3 is a long shot, but you know just they need to play well and win games, and that's why tonight's so disappointing because I thought there was real perseverance from them within this game.
Yeah.
Even though Boston was shorthanded, Boston made runs. That crowd was into it. You could tell. And then, you know, Westbrook would get a bucket. Corey Brewer would get a steal. And next thing you know, a 5-point lead evaporated into one in a matter of seconds. And I was like, that's what the Thunder needs to do.
Yep.
They just need to take blows and respond accordingly. And they did so for basically 48 minutes.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to say something I haven't said in a while. And I, again, as is always the case in this scenario, I am not pinning the blame on any one person, because some of the blame falls on the person I'm about to talk about. But Paul George getting two shots in the fourth quarter tonight is not good. He was shooting well. He made the only two shots he took. He made a three, the only three that he took. He rebounded the ball. His defense was pretty good in the fourth quarter. Would like to have seen him be a little bit more involved. Every time I say that, people think I'm like calling out Westbrook and Carmelo about shots and stuff. I'm not. Carmelo also only took two shots. Corey Brewer took four shots in the fourth quarter. Westbrook took five. Those guys did not shoot the ball well. Whether that is on those guys, whether it's on Paul George to be more open, whether it's on other guys to look for him. He played more minutes than anybody in the fourth, played 10:37 in the fourth quarter, and only got two shots. And that just, he can't be doing that. Not when he's playing well, not when he's shooting the ball well, and he was shooting it well in second half.
Yeah. Now, Steven Adams got to the line 10 times tonight, but he only took seven shots. He only had two shots after halftime.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of that is getting fouled and not getting shot attempts for that, but you know, Steven Adams is another guy who needs to get more touches. We've seen how devastating he can be, and he's a guy who can, he needs to continue to get touches even in the fourth quarter of games, because he was wearing out Boston early. He was wearing out Al Horford and anybody they threw at him. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw in this next game against Miami, Russell Westbrook's really good at this, coming back the next game and making the appropriate corrections to get guys the ball. I think Paul George and Carmelo Anthony are going to be not Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, Paul George and Steven Adams are going to be beneficiaries next game.
Yeah. And by the way, when I say all this stuff about Paul George, he didn't play like a great game. He was, you know, but he shot the ball great. He was 9 of 19 overall, but 5 of 8 from three. Turned the ball over too much, made some weird passes to Steven Adams. Just like really, he has these moments where you think he and Steven are getting a little bit of a groove when they run a little pick and roll, and then some where they just look totally lost with each other. And then his fouls were problematic. But still, even with five fouls, he played almost 40 minutes. You know, he played the most minutes on the team. It wasn't like he played a perfect game. I would have liked to have seen them involve him a little bit more in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of always true of Adams, you know, that you'd like to see him a little bit more involved late. I think Barry Trammell wrote about this on the website this week about just kind of why they get away from Adams. And there are a lot of reasons that it could be. One of them that we don't talk about much is fatigue, and there's all kinds of stuff there. But you would like to see him get a little bit more involved, because he's a tough guy to deal with, even for a guy as good as Horford is.
Yep. And look, the Thunder's offense, it wasn't awful in the fourth quarter. I mean, some guys missed. Well, Russell Westbrook was bad. He was 1 of 5, but the penetrating kick was there.
The trail threes.
Yeah, trail. I mean, Westbrook created for guys. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, like we said, I think he played the right way.
Yeah.
I will say the bench was terrible the entire game.
Yes,
the
bad.
The bench once again was just not good.
The bench. I mean, as much as the game, you know, look, there's a lot of plays and the free throws at the end, like. I want to be clear that nobody's like saying, oh, who cares that Carmelo Anthony missed two free throws? Give him a break. He's got to make those free throws. He's got to at least make one. You know, he can't go 0-for-2 in that situation. But there's so much stuff that contributes to this loss. And one of the things is you have a 9-point lead with 1:06 to go in the third quarter, and your bench blows almost all of it. Gives up seven straight points, and all of a sudden, you know, here you are. You're in a 2-point game. If you go into that fourth quarter with something more like a 7 or 9-point lead, now maybe you can extend that bench out a little bit more. You know, maybe if it gets to 4 or 5, now you got Westbrook coming back in with a little bit more of a cushion. It would have been a nice thing for the bench to just get some points. They were just so bad. They just did not. Jeremy Grant had 6. Nobody else had more than 2, and only 2 guys had 2. They got 10 points off their bench. You know, Boston got 30 from 2 guys. It's a bad look.
Yeah, no, they didn't play well. And you know, I think you gotta ask some questions of Billy Donovan here too. I mean, Alex Abrines only plays 4 minutes. Josh Hughes is 4.5. Terrence Ferguson goes nearly 12, and he misses all of his shots. And
yep,
you know, you know, night to night, you know what you're going to get with Billy Donovan. You know you're going to get some inconsistencies in terms of the rotations. Not to mention he's still experimenting. He's still, you know, playing Paul George deep into the second quarter. Playing Paul George the entire first. He played him longer into the second quarter than he typically does. And when Paul George was struggling, I think he was maybe trying to get him going. But when Paul George made a couple of turnovers before he finally pulled him out in pretty deep into the second quarter, you gotta wonder what he's doing there in terms of his handling of Paul George, you know, how he's going to handle the bench unit going forward, because frankly, the bench is going to kill them in some of these games going down the stretch if they don't get it figured out.
Yep. It's interesting. You know, it's funny. You said the word experiment, and the reason that word is interesting for people who get like the Oklahoman, if you get it at your house and you live in Oklahoma City or you read it online or whatever, you may not know the way this works, but we have an early edition that goes out to places that are not the center of Oklahoma City, that kind of go outside the city. And on some nights we have earlier deadlines. So Eric, we have to write a story before the game even starts. We have to have a story for those outside the city editions. And my story tonight was about Terrence Ferguson. I wrote about him and the way Billy Donovan's playing him and some of the veteran guys and the way that people feel about him and stuff. And, you know, Billy said the word, he said to me in reference to a question about Terrence Ferguson, it's not like I'm playing him to experiment. He's a good player and we want him out there. And that was an interesting way of phrasing that, because I don't think I asked him about experimenting. I think I asked him about, you know, giving him experience. And he said it's not just about that. It's about that we think he helps us. And that's interesting, because like offensively, there are times he very much doesn't. Defensively, there are times he doesn't. I thought he was okay defensively tonight. I actually watched a couple of possessions where I thought he was pretty dialed in. But it comes and goes because he's 19 and he hasn't played in games like this before. So that is an interesting thing. And the indication certainly seems that Hustis is very much on the outs. Sabrinas is hard to figure. Like, it's hard to figure out what matchups he likes and doesn't like for Sabrinas and why. But that rotation of those three guys, that's going to be a big question going forward. And then they've just, like, Grant was okay tonight. He's been not as good as he was for that long stretch. He had a stretch of whatever it was. It feels like 7 or 8 or 9 games, a lot of games, where he was pretty good. Not so much tonight. And then, you know, you would like to just get something out of Patrick Patterson.
Yeah, Patrick Patterson got manhandled tonight. Greg Monroe was pushing him all around.
Yep.
And I think the Shane Larkin thing threw the Thunder for a loop. They threw in little Shane Larkin, and he kind of confounded them a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
He played Shane Larkin at 13 points.
He played so hard. I mean, he really played hard.
Yeah, it was just I think Boston is obviously well coached, and the Thunder, Billy Donovan's screwing around with the rotations, and you know, this all might ultimately not matter once the playoffs come, because these things are going to get tightened, and you would think that Terrence Ferguson is going to get clipped out. But, I mean, certainly I think Josh Hustis is a guy who looks like he's going to get clipped out unless they somehow go up against Golden State or Houston in the first round.
Right.
Then you're going to dust off Josh Hustis because you're going to want him to play against Golden State.
Right.
And Houston. And then presumably you wouldn't play Alex Abrines because Billy Donovan just doesn't play Alex Abrines against Houston.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna largely be playing Jeremy Grant, Raymond Felton, and Patrick Patterson a lot. And then the starters are going to play a lot. I mean, like, that's going to happen in the playoffs, that those guys are going to get most of the minutes. I don't think Terrence Ferguson's going to disappear, but we'll see.
Who knows, man? He might break out a Kyle Singler for all we know.
That's, you know.
That's not happening.
Da'Carri Johnson.
Banana Daiquiri.
Get him out there.
They've
been saving Daniel Hamilton. That's why they never. That's why they never use him. Saving those two-way days.
What did you think about the inbound situation at the end?
The last play.
Yeah.
I didn't have a great angle on it, but I thought the shot was going to go in. I'll tell you that, because I didn't see a lot of how the play developed. A lot of people are standing up in front of you. You're in kind of a weird place in Boston, so you're up a little bit, but not way up. It's actually a pretty good seat, except that when all the fans stand up, it's a little hard to see parts of the floor. But the shot was coming right at me. So I assume, based on the angle that I saw, I assume that shot was short, because I have not seen a replay. But it looked dead online to me from where I was sitting. But I did not get a great look at the actual play that set it up.
Yeah, well, but my issue with it was, and people kind of took offense, kind of came at me at Twitter a little bit about it. My issue was, why was Carmelo Anthony in this position in the first place? And people want to say, well, Carmelo Anthony is shooting a better percentage from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook. Look, I get that. That's fine. But Russell Westbrook.
Oh, you mean that inbound?
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking about Westbrook's shot. I did actually see that inbound.
Oh, the three pointer?
Yeah. The potential game winner. The shot Westbrook missed at the buzzer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, at that point, if he makes it, he makes it.
Yeah. No, that's the one I was saying. I didn't get a great look at the play, but I got a great look at the shot because it was coming right at us. I actually did think that shot was going in when he shot it. So no, that's what I was talking about there. That play was a little bit weird. That Carmelo play. And the weird thing to me is, like, if Westbrook's not going to get the ball there, I want Paul George, who's the best free throw shooter of all those guys this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they sent Paul George up the floor with Steven Adams kind of on the wing. And I don't – or on the – like, they had Steven Adams on one sideline, Paul George on another, basically high up the floor.
Yeah.
I checked the clutch stats. Paul George is shooting 87.5% in the clutch from the free throw line. Look. I get that Carmelo Anthony's supposed to make two free throws,
yep.
But I also don't understand sending Paul George up the floor when he's one of your best free throw shooters. And then, now, I went back and looked at the Russell Westbrook situation. He was basically bracketed on the play, so uh-huh. It was really tough to get him the ball in that situation. But I would have devised, and they couldn't have devised anything because Billy Donovan went instead of taking a timeout, which... Like, part of me says, okay, if you take a timeout, you're working from the sideline, you could potentially get trapped. But at the same time, you could also send a man into the backcourt, and somebody's going to have to chase him, and that man will probably be Russell Westbrook, and he's more athletic than anybody on earth, and he could probably beat Terry Rozier to the spot, and then he'd just get fouled. Now, the point is, I don't think Carmelo Anthony should have been the guy with the ball in that situation.
Yeah.
He passes in to Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer's been a great free throw shooter for the Thunder. One part of me says, okay, if Corey Brewer tries to take a dribble or hold the ball, he could potentially lose it because we know that Corey Brewer is a drunken dribbler.
Correct.
At the same time, if he holds the ball, he's been shooting free throws really well for the Thunder this season.
And is a good free throw shooter. Over the course of his career, he's like a 77% free throw shooter. He's a good shooter.
He was 20 of 21 from the line with the Thunder, and then he passes back to Melo in that situation. Mel's got a decision to make. He can't immediately pass to Westbrook because Westbrook's getting bracketed by Larkin.
Right. So he dribbles.
So he dribbles. And I don't know what else he's supposed to do in that situation other than that. I think Boston played it well.
Yeah.
But I also think that the Thunder could have done things differently schematically, whether they take a timeout and figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because they had two timeouts, or you just simply put different players in different positions. You put Paul George as the inbounder to Corey Brewer, and he gets the ball back. Or you put Russell Westbrook as the inbounder to Paul George, and then he gets the ball back. Well, and then, look, you're not working with a lot of time, so who's boss? Is Boston going to make the right moves to put the right guys on the right people?
Right.
I don't know.
I still, I mean, the one thing about this is I still think you, probably if you're Billy Donovan and probably if you're everybody else, you'd expect that Carmelo's going to make those free throws. And certainly going to make one of them. But I like the idea. I said it at the time when we were sitting up there watching the game that I like the idea of Paul George being there. I would have preferred it be Paul George. One weird thing about the game, and I think this, I didn't even ask Carmelo about this, but it's a factor, I'm sure. I'm not making excuses for him not making the free throws. He had only shot one the whole night, and so had Paul. And that is tough, I think. I mean, that's one reason why I think you would rather have Westbrook of all of them. You'd rather have Westbrook shooting them. Just because even though Westbrook did not have a good free throw shooting game tonight, he was 7 of 11, he'd at least been to the line a bunch of times. You know, again, late game situation, trying to close out a game, you expect to make them. You expect all-star players to make those two free throws. But you got a guy getting the ball in that situation who basically hasn't shot one the whole night. He shot one, and I don't even remember when it was. I think it might have been the first half.
Yeah, it was just – I would have rather had Westbrook in that situation taking those free throws. I know people want to bang on Russell Westbrook for his free throw shooting this season, but I just feel like in that situation, he's the guy you want with the ball in his hands regardless. He had made three or four in the last minute prior to that. He would – And look, you can end this entire conversation by just saying Carmelo Anthony makes one of two or makes two of two. It's over.
Right.
But I think that you could have put yourself in a better position for success with different components in that inbounds play.
Right. Look, the other fair thing here is if he had made them both, we wouldn't be talking about whether they should have had it be Paul George. You know, like if he just makes them, we're not saying like, that wasn't the right play.
Right.
So, I did wonder. It's also just sort of weird in the sense that like when that play happens, when it sets up that way where Carmelo's main option is to put the ball on the floor, that looked weird. Carmelo doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't do it that much in that situation. He will bring the ball up the floor, but it's typically off his own rebound if he's going to bring it up the floor like Westbrook just kind of goes. So it was a little strange. Paul George is, although not a great ball handler in transition, he is a little more accustomed to bringing the ball up the floor for them in non-rebound situations.
It didn't seem like a Carmelo comfortable situation. Yeah. When he got the ball back from Corey Brewer, he looked like he was looking up the floor to either pass or get the ball to Russell Westbrook. And then, you know, I guess intelligently on his part, he just dribbles up court into the space.
Yeah.
But instead of forcing a pass to Westbrook or Steven Adams, who was on that left sideline.
Yeah, because you're not – in that situation, I'm sure you're thinking, like, don't throw the ball to Steven. I mean, I'm sure that's one of the first thoughts in your head. It's
right,
like, don't go in Steven's direction with the ball.
Yeah, he looked up. And you know, maybe you switch Paul George and Steven Adams on the sidelines in that situation. Because if you throw the ball up court – The nearest sideline to you, that left sideline, that's where Steven Adams was. Maybe you put Paul George on the nearest sideline and you put Steven Adams on the far sideline. There were a lot of different hypotheticals there, but basically it comes down to Carmelo just make the damn free.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's I do think all those things are kind of interesting for debate. But yeah, like Carmelo, make one of the free throws if you're Carmelo. You know, at least put yourself in a position where a three-pointer can't beat you. Can't put them ahead. You know, you still had time. But still, yeah, I mean, it's just – And look, I know like Carmelo kind of, you know, he wasn't like, it's not like the guy was crying in his beer after the game, but like he was upset. He was upset with himself. It did take a long time. You know, that Corey Brewer ice breaking moment I talked about, that was after a while. He sat there for quite a while by himself. And, you know, I know he's upset. I know he's disappointed. Like, again, it's the NBA, so you move on pretty quickly. But these guys have been rolling. They did not want to take a loss right now. They really wanted to come away from this thing with two wins. And I think they were pretty, after the game, pretty, you know, again, they were content with how hard they had fought and content with the position they had put themselves in, but mad that they lost it and sort of feel like, you know, this team has to feel like they should be 2-0 against Boston, and yet, you know, here they are.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but at the same time, the Thunder, you know, they got to pick themselves up and come back home and beat Miami.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this team. That's like the thing with these guys. Here's the bottom line of losing this game is, if you win the next two, who cares that you lost to Boston? Like, if you win the next two, you can look back at this road trip as like, well, you went and played the two best teams in the East, and sure, one of them was shorthanded and you lost that game, but you split with the two best teams in the East, then you come back, take care of business against Miami, and you beat Portland on Sunday. Well, who cares? You know, that's a great week. You've had a great – if you go Sunday to Sunday and go 3-1, you've had a terrific week. Now, can they beat Portland? The Magic 8-Ball says that outlook is unlikely. That outcome is unlikely. It's whatever. I don't remember what all the things a Magic 8-Ball can say, but it would be like, nah, no, they can't. I mean, they have shown no reason to believe that they can, and yet they rise up against some good teams and win sometimes. And so I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Portland. But they gotta, you know, the thing they gotta do is they can't do a Thunder and like lose to Miami and beat Portland. Don't do that this weekend. You know, like go out there and take care of Miami and then worry about what comes next.
Yeah, got to take care of Miami.
That's a good Miami team. They're a good team. They're a team you should beat at home in this situation. Like, you got to go on the road and play them in a couple weeks, and who knows what happens. But, like, you should beat them in this situation. But they are good enough to win the game.
Yeah, and look, Miami's still fighting for playoff position, too, so it's not like they're just going to come in there and lay down.
Exactly. No, they got cause to win. Like you know, Denver went there the other night badly needing a win. Now, Denver loses games it needs to win all the time, especially away from home. That's why Denver is going to miss the playoffs, probably. But, yeah, I mean, Miami beat them in a pretty exciting game, double overtime game. It was, like, wildly high scoring. But, yeah, it's, you know, they're a team that's got a lot to play for. They are a good team with some good young talent and some players who are going to give the Thunder some troubles. Bam Adebayo might have a lot of dunks.
Yeah, and I still think the Thunder's going to end up with the sixth seed, even if they play moderately well down the stretch. Their schedule's difficult, and they just don't have any tiebreakers against those teams underneath them.
Yeah.
And if they lose that game at San Antonio, that's going to be you know, three tiebreakers they don't own against teams that are right in the thick for that fourth or eighth. So it's going to be really tough for them if they don't start, you know, putting up some big wins in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and it really looked like they were on their way to that. I mean, I really thought, like, they had obviously played some kind of dog games and won, but they had won. And, we look at what we're seeing out of some of the teams that are in contention. I mean, look, Utah is – I saw this tonight. Utah is 21-4 in its last 25 games. It's lost two games to Atlanta. Two of the four losses are to Atlanta. So, like, you're going to lose some games like that. That's going to happen, and you're going to be in some games. And these guys, lately, the Thunder's done a really good job of just kind of putting away those games against bad teams. Tonight is a rarity lately. This is a game that they had it won, and they didn't win it, and they've not been doing that lately. They've been, even with the games where they should have more breathing room, they found ways to win those games that they're supposed to win. And tonight's one of those ones where they're supposed to win this one, and they didn't. And this is, like, statistically almost impossible to lose this game. It's a complete fluke, but it's bad timing.
Yeah, it is bad timing. But we'll see what they do on Friday. They got to do something because Miami's one of those must have games. You're not. It's not that Miami's a easy team to beat, but you're not going to get many more of these easy games. And frankly, they might end up getting some easier games down the stretch than the schedule indicates,
because
Golden State's banged up and Houston's basically wrapping up this one.
Yeah,
this week.
That could be over by the time they play those two teams again. If not, then effectively over. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. You're not going to get a lot of rest out of some teams, but you've got some other good teams who knows what might happen. You know, who knows where might Miami be by the time they play them again? Are they going to be locked into a place where whatever that place is? We'll see how that goes. But, you know, they just right now, I think they were feeling so good about themselves after Toronto. They really felt like, and that felt, Toronto felt different, man. The post game felt different. Like, those guys knew yesterday that it was time to move on from it, but they felt like they had done something there. They really wanted to go in and win that game because that was a team that just doesn't lose at home. You know, five losses all year at home before that. They you could tell that was something they wanted to go in there and show they could do. So they're mad that got derailed today. They're mad they didn't get this. And they've been a weird team about reacting to things like that. And so you don't know that they're going to come out and beat up on Miami, but that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I hope I will see what happens because as we speak right now, it's not snowing yet in Boston, but it is going to snow. And I have an afternoon flight that is going to be right around the time, like, we'll see. And I don't know where the flight's coming from, so I don't know what the situation is going to be with the airplane. They wouldn't let me change my flight. All those earlier flights are gone, so we'll see. I hope I'm not going to be hanging out in Boston this week. Celtics are gone, so wouldn't be very much fun to be here. I'm hopeful that I will be back in Oklahoma City at some point tomorrow. We'll find out. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I hope you make it back, man. That'd be nice.
Yeah. It's been a weird travel year this year for both of us. We've had some oddities. You had all-star nightmares, and I had some stuff going out to California. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully I'll get there. As for now, I guess we should wrap it up. Our next podcast won't be till Friday. There's one good thing for the Thunder, a couple of days off, which I think is probably good for them. Maybe after a night like tonight, you want to jump right back in. But I think they're at a stage of their season, and for many of these guys, of their careers, where they want the time off. So they get 2 days off, which means they won't practice tomorrow on Wednesday. They'll take a day off so that they can practice on Thursday in advance of Miami on Friday. So get a little bit of downtime for them. That means no podcast until Friday, but we'll be back Friday night, probably both in the same place, unless I am here in a foot of snow doing the podcast from a hotel. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
Otherwise, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening and subscribing and rating and doing all those things. And if you're not doing those things, go do them. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Give us a nice rating. Give us a nice review. 5 stars only, please. If you got anything less than that, go give it to some other podcast. But we will talk to you after Miami and see what's up with these Thunder guys.